The path amid adversity. In this psalm, we hear, yes, confidence. Confidence that God is our light, the light within as well as the light, as Scripture says, upon our path to help us to walk step by step. We have confidence in this psalm, we hear it, that God is also our salvation. Not just the one who will save us on the last day, but the one who is there to stand before us and lead us through the troubled waters of our daily life. We hear the confidence in here that God is our strength. That God will hide us amid our troubles. That God will set us on high. That God will help us to lift up our head. That God will help us to sing. In this psalm, which we sort of put in our, if you will, our backpacks as we journey through life. This is our suitcase. This is our journeying pack. This is our man bag, our purse, whatever you want to call it. We are putting these things in for the journey. These are not things that I encourage you to leave here when you leave this place. These are things to take with you, to put in your life pack. And in this psalm, we have heard confidence of all of this and the encouragement to focus upon what is most essential. Did you hear that verse where it talked about seeking to live in God's house? And I'm sure the psalmist at that point was thinking about that house upon the hill in Jerusalem, that temple, and even mentions in that one verse. But what would it be like to seek every day of our lives to be seeking God's house as being wherever we are? That when we are in our own abode, that we seek that as God's house. That when we go to school, that is God's house. That when we go to work, that is God's house. That when we go on a mission trip to Mexico, that is God's house. Where you were in your room with all your medicines, John, that was God's house. To seek to live in God's house. And there to, as it says, see beauty. I'm reminded of that verse in Philippians, the last part of Philippians 4, where it says, where Paul writes, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." To focus upon seeing that wherever we are. These are things to stick in our pack as we face honestly into adversity. I don't know about you, but the temptation is to curl up in a ball or to run away from adversity, from struggle. Whether that struggle come from enemies or criticism, or that struggle come in a foot that is not operating right, some kind of illness, whatever that adversity is. Now I know when, like for instance with this foot, I was supposed to keep it up, put ice on it, compress it, rest, all that stuff. But that should not, I was trying to remind myself yesterday, that's not running away from it. That's not curling up in a ball. But honestly face into adversity. That's what this psalm is trying to give us tools, to give us things to help us as we step into trying times. Because it's really in the laments of life. It's really in the times of adversity. It's the times when we walk through, as the psalmist also said, you know, through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, those times when we are walking through, actually, Lenten times. That's what Lent is encouraging us to do, to not shy away from difficulty, to not run away from criticism, to not just try to face into life by being nice and thus avoiding trouble, but to be able to stand tall with head lifted up high and face it with faith. Because when we honestly face into adversity, it is there that we learn God's way. Yes, we learn God's way by reading the Bible, but that is, don't hear me saying don't read the Bible, but only as the Bible comes alive in times of struggle do we really grow. And sometimes we in our life, and I've been encouraging the children and with varying degrees of success to be daily, I shared this last week, daily reading their Bible. And I'm so glad for their honesty. The honesty is when I ask them during our classes, how is that coming? And I have that look from one of them saying, it's not coming very well. You know that struggle, but it's the daily reading, you know, the daily diving into the Word that gives us the tools that we need so that when struggle times come, we have those things in hand. We have those things ready right there. And we don't have to, oh gosh, you know, take a book. Where am I supposed to look? You know, okay, I'll just open it up right here. Is it going to be there? And sometimes that works, but sometimes it doesn't. And that's why we try to get into a regular routine, a habit of reading, of a habit of diving into the Scriptures to fill up our backpacks with the stuff that's most important. As I was dwelling with this psalm this week, one verse kept coming up over and over again, and I put that in the beginning of the bulletin. You know, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Because of my enemies. As I was looking at that verse, I was going into the Hebrew and looking at that verse, because, you know, and learned that the Hebrew word, which is ma'an, that word, let me get this up right where I took my notes down. That word talks about purpose. It talks about intent. It talks about in view of, on account of, but not causing. Our struggles, our enemies do not directly cause us to grow in faith, do not directly cause the path that we are walking on to become right. But they are there, they're part of it. They help us to get at the purpose of it all. Our goal through it all is to keep walking. When it says about teach me your way, that is not something we learn on a stool. Well, and maybe sometimes we do. But it is actually for walking, he says as he sits down. It is for the journey. Stepping forth. As I read this particular chapter, I was reminded of some stories of Jesus. When you think of enemies who are in wait, and that word enemy actually means somebody who lies and waits, who watches. What Bible story do you think of when, you know, the story, Jesus, one of the stories Jesus told, when you hear those verses of persons along the way who have enemies watching in wait? The Good Samaritan, that's the first one that comes to mind. Somebody who is traveling along the way between Jericho and Jerusalem, and there is beset by enemies who seek to steal, and they beat him and they rob him and they leave him to death. And we could rehear that story and end it right there. And it says, well, where was God in all of that? Where was God in the middle of that adversity? Where, you know, what was God doing? You know, just like we might ask when a person dies or when troubles happen, where was God in all of this? But we have to listen to the rest of the story, right? In the rest of the story, as Jesus opens up to us, and this is just a story, you know, there is no spot there in Jerusalem. If you ever go to Israel and you go on a tour and they say, this is where this happened, you know not to go on that tour. This was a story, but in it, Jesus revealed where God was. And where was God? Was God in the person who that very religious person, those two very religious person who, and I'm sure they weren't limping, walked on by? That's pretty effective, isn't it? Multimedia here, so. Was God there? Well, maybe. trying to figure out how that might be. But how was God present in that adverse moment, in that moment of trial for that person who was whatever? God was there in who? The Samaritan. And if you know enough about the story, and I try to tell us as many times as I can, good Sam was not your friendly neighborhood, you know, person whom everybody liked. He was the distrusted traveler along the way. For those who were Jews, he was of a different ethnic group, with maybe some different beliefs. He was not quite Jewish. He was part of the people of Israel, but had a different place other than Jerusalem. You know, focused as a holy place, and you know, it was similar to being, you know, the struggle in past history between black and white, between other persons who distrust each other in our society at present time, whoever you would least think good things to come from in this society, that's the person who would have been the Samaritan for you in this story. And that's how God was at work. And believing that God is in work in that way is helpful to have in our backpack. Because as we journey through our struggles, our trials, we are tempted to fear. Fear leads us into a lot of nutty things. Those of you who were book club this week, what did we read? The Witch at Blackbird Pond. And what did fear lead some people to do, those of you who were a part of that discussion? Persecution, to persecute this Quaker woman who was different. She was not a witch, but they wanted to put her on trial for being a witch. They were afraid. And why were they afraid? Anyone? She was different, but why were they afraid? What was their real fear? They were going through illness, sickness in their community, and they wanted something to blame, someone to blame. And they wanted to focus their fears somewhere else. And we can grow afraid of our enemies, and this can be reasons for turning away. Like when somebody, we can determine that they are an enemy because they have critiqued us. They have shared a criticism of us. Now, criticism is not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes within criticism, there is a good grain of truth that we need to pay attention to. But we are tempted out of fear to run away from criticism. We're tempted to run away from those who would be our enemies. Of course, the call of the gospel is to instead turn around and face into them. And as Jesus was God's effort to make enemies into friends, so we are called to step into that same thing. But we got to get past our fear first. And before we can be peacemakers, we have to deal with our fear. But it's not just fear over our enemies, a fear of others. There's also fear that God will not be faithful. Were you listening to this psalm where it talks about that? You know, anytime when we talk about our confidence that God is faithful and true, that is a way of dealing with those fears. I mean, if you were listening to the path that the psalmist talked about, he said, I'm seeking your face, Lord, but don't turn your face away from me. Don't turn your servant away. Don't turn me away in anger. Don't cast me off. Don't forsake me. Don't give me up to the will of my adversaries. There's the fear that God will not be faithful and true. And we need to deal with that as well. And how do we deal with that? Well, we come down to the last verses, and it's discovered along the way. You know, that last verse, I love because it's not a verse that is telling us what we already know. And just, you know, the tried and true. It uses that word, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. That is a very difficult thing to do. I don't know if in your experience, if you find it difficult. I find it extremely difficult. I think in our present society, where we want immediate gratification, we want answers now, we want them actually yesterday. Wait. You know, and sometimes God speaks in the silences. I think, actually, in my experience, that's more often than not. Wait for the Lord. And as you're waiting, take your backpack out and see what you have in that backpack as you are journeying through life. And pull those things out. And through that, be strong. Because the Lord is your light. The Lord is your salvation. The Lord is your stronghold. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? You have your backpack with you for the journey. Wait. Be strong. Take courage. And wait for the Lord.